Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a big weekend for the Tennessee Vols. They win 67-62 against the number 3 ranked Auburn Tigers. And to help us talk more about it, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
We're great. Super. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Mike, your impressions of that performance for Tennessee on Saturday, how impressive was that win in your mind, and what do you think was the key to victory for the Vols in that game?
Yeah, it was the way they did it, I thought was impressive, because they had one of those really bad spells in the first half where they did not score at all, basically, and were just ineffective offensively. But the way they came out in the second half, hit big shots, made the big plays, and kind of got it done, starting with their defense like they like to do, was great. But to me, it was the rebounding. That's really what it all came back to. Auburn came in as the second-best rebounding team in the SEC. Tennessee won the rebounding battle 54-31. And really dominated it early, really dominated it on the offensive glass early. That was a different thing than we've seen from Tennessee throughout this year, and especially in past matchups with Auburn. Auburn's been a team that's given them trouble in that way. So to see Tennessee's big men play the way they did was really impressive.
Yeah, so what happened there, Mike? I'm watching the game, and I feel like, you know, sometimes you get some of those long rebounds, you know, and it can get contagious with the offensive rebounding sometimes, but still, like, it's just stunning when you get 20 plus against that team. And I do feel like the young bigs deserve some credit in there, like they're starting to come into their own. But what does that say about things moving forward, if anything?
I think it's a great sign, especially with the young bigs. That's where it really starts. I mean, the offensive rebounding was impressive. I thought Urosh was good early. But John Fulkerson also was good throughout. But then the way that Brandon Huntley Hatfield played was maybe as encouraging as anything in that game for Tennessee, because that's a guy they've wanted to see more from all season. And I thought he was pretty good last Tuesday at Missouri, and then he was really, really good on Saturday. He played 20 minutes, which is most in SEC play, had 8 rebounds, had a couple of really important rebounds at that. I think he had the one that led to Kennedy Chandler's go-ahead basket, had a put-back dunk in that important run in the second half. Just the way that he played, there was a different energy to it, and that really does affect rebounding, especially when you're talking about just the way that Tennessee beat Auburn to a lot of rebounds.
Mike Wilson on the line with us from the Knoxville News Sentinel, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike, I'm just curious from your vantage point, like watching these games on TV, the atmosphere at TBA just seems awesome. And you've been around this for a while now. Just how do you describe what that atmosphere has become for Tennessee basketball at that place?
Yeah, Tennessee, for big games, Thompson Bowling Arena is very, 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 very loud. I mean, the Kentucky game, Arizona game, Auburn game, I mean, it's very, very loud, very good environment. And it does speak to what's going on there, because obviously there's good attendance in games that aren't those big ones, but when you get a big game at Thompson Bowling Arena, it's pretty special, I think. It's reminiscent of just about any noise level I think I've experienced at a lot of places. So Saturday was as loud as it's been this season, if not louder.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's do some comparing. Let's do a little SEC Big Ten battling here. Because you know, the Big Ten basketball folks kind of thumb their nose at SEC basketball. There's nothing you can really say about SEC football, but that – you know, there's a lot of, SEC basketball, other than Kentucky. But compare the best you've seen at TBA with you've covered a million games at Breslin, you've been all over the Big Ten. Compare it against the best you've seen.
Well, I will put the caveat there that I haven't been to Wisconsin or Indiana.
Wisconsin sucks.
Okay, cool. So we can eliminate that one off the jump. Haven't been to Indiana either.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, because they that place might be number one of the Big Ten. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so I needed to put that out there ahead of time. Obviously covered a lot of games at Michigan State that were very loud. And I think the media seating being on the floor there too, right in front of the student section, gives it a different impression of how loud it is too. just because of where you are. I thought Chrysler Center, Joe, for Michigan-Michigan State games tended to be pretty darn good. Don't know what it's like on a more normal game opposed to a hostile game. But those were both arenas that stuck with me. But, yeah, when Thompson Bowling Arena has an elite opponent in there, it's different. I mean, it's 21,000 people screaming, and it's very Rocky Top at that moment.
Well, it's better than Rupp, too.
It's louder than Rupp in those moments to me. I will say Rupp this year, when Tennessee was there, was as loud as I've heard it, and they've played some pretty good games over the past few years. But I thought Kentucky was steamrolling Tennessee in that game, and when that team got rolling, that arena got very loud. That was as loud as I've heard it at Rupp.
Mike Wilson on with us here on Robbie and Rex.
Michelle, if you want to interject at any point, Michelle, go ahead.
Michelle is very upset at Rexrode for his comments there about Rupp Arena.
She doesn't know what to do.
It's great stuff. So, Mike, I couldn't help but thinking about this the other day, just going back to last year and the way that Tennessee was trending heading into the SEC tournament and into the NCAA tournament. You know, obviously they get put out early. And it kind of feels like it's the opposite this year. It feels like they're getting better. And, I know they didn't shoot the ball particularly well on Saturday, but this feels like a team with each passing game that I watch them that I think could be more and more dangerous as tournament time comes around. You agree with that?
I do, and that's because last year this team peaked on, January 2nd.
Yeah.
At Missouri, they looked like a third-best team in the country at that point, behind, I think, Gonzaga and Baylor, probably, and that was their peak. They, from there, were miserable offensively, really had no identity there. This team... Last year, this is the game that Tennessee finds a way to lose. And they almost found a way to lose it Saturday in the final minute with some turnovers. But that's a game they do lose last year, and it's probably not close. This team, especially through February, has really found ways to get it done other than that clunker at Arkansas. They are prone to those offensive games, which does feel like that thing that ultimately will doom them in March. But at the same time, they had a bit of a clunker on Saturday and for the first time this year found a way to win that clunker against a very, very good team, which is a promising sign. And I think you're going to see this week, Georgia tomorrow is winnable, to put it lightly.
You think?
Yeah. Georgia, not great. And then Arkansas comes to Thompson Bowling on Saturday where Tennessee has been next to impossible to beat. So Tennessee at that point, sitting 23-7 going into the SEC tournament, gives you a chance to get to 25 wins going into March, 3-seed, favorable region. Yeah, I mean, you like those situations for Tennessee, especially because it is the exact opposite of the trend of last season.
Do you see it? Well, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, it's a totally different team. You went from no point guards to really like 2 point guards who play together and play off each other extremely well, for one thing. Plus, the depth inside, you're starting to see the young guys come on. I mean, there's a lot to like here. Do you think that there's anything other than just continuing to hone the game, try to build confidence, beat good teams, to play for here in terms of, is it even feasible that they could get to the 2-line? Does it matter that much to get to the 2-line? I guess – we've talked about this, but if you did get to the 2-line, you might get Greenville, which is by far the closest spot. But are you looking at there are stakes beyond just continuing to try to build momentum toward the tournament?
I mean, technically, Tennessee still has a shot at the SEC title. It would take them winning out, Auburn losing a game, then you get a share of it. Kentucky and Arkansas are still in play for it as well. Those three teams are all 12-4 behind Auburn's 13-3. That's something this team has talked a little bit about lately, but they've kind of been out of it for long enough that it hasn't been a focal point. I've wondered the 2-seed conversation. It feels like Tennessee would have to win out, win the SEC tournament in very convincing fashion, with games against a Kentucky and an Auburn or a Kentucky and an Arkansas. You'd probably have to beat 2 of those teams in order to have the resume to jump there. But Tennessee does have 3 top 5 wins, only quad 1 losses. Something we've talked about here a good bit lately. So the resume is nice. I don't know that they jump to that 2. It feels to me more like that Pittsburgh-Milwaukee destination, assuming Indy takes Purdue and Kentucky, Greenville takes Auburn and Duke, Just feels like that. But Tennessee does have certainly that to play for, because it seems like they could at least bump into the top three seeds and then get in that conversation if they close really, really well.
What would mean more to Tennessee fans and Tennessee, the folks in the program, getting a share of an SEC title or going and winning the SEC tournament in Florida?
When's the last time they won the tournament? 79? Something like 70-something.
That? 70-something.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good question. I'm going to say both because it seems like a great cop-out.
Oh, my gosh. No, you got to pick one.
Honestly, I think getting that monkey off the back of the SEC tournament has to mean something at this point. The regular season title means a lot more, I think, just because it's the longevity of it. And the fact that Tennessee started, what, 2-3 in the SEC, then to rally to win a share of it, I think would be more impressive. But getting that monkey off the back down in Tampa, I think, would be a nice thing for this program.
Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Mike, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Yep. Sorry, Michelle.
I have no voice, so it's hard to fight back, but Rupp Arena is the best, and that's all I'll say.
Wow. Overrupted.
Walk off by Mike Wilson. I love it. It's great stuff.
We'll have to talk more about this
next segment. Yes, we will. Michelle sitting there with her arms folded, glaring at Rex Road. It's awesome. Great stuff.
It's true.
It's not.
It absolutely is.
I have been to more games in Rupp Arena than you.
I've been to Rupp Arena when they played Tennessee when they were number one that season. It was as lit as a place could be Saturday night. It is not louder than same TBA, same teams. It's
yes,
not.
It is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
It
okay. I was at both. Were you? No.
No. Was I alive?
What are you, 3 years old?
Yes.
We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols. Welcome your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I've been thinking about that game. I hate admitting this because my number one focus needs to be this, but I've been thinking about that game for a while. You know, someone was generous enough to give me those tickets. I would probably get thrown out of a minimum of 7 games by those tickets all year long. So now I understand where Spike Lee and some of those people are coming from. I don't know that I need to be down there again, but our team too in basketball, sometimes it's to be a great team, you got to go through some stuff. And maybe you get into some arguments internally and externally, and you play worse than you should sometimes. You don't win when you could have. And a lot of times that's kind of valuable ingredients into being a great team. And I think our guys have gone through some of that stuff. Again, on game day, it's more valuable to learn lessons. But without being in that locker room, just being a fan and an observer, I think those guys have kind of found themselves, and they're really fun to watch. So how could you not have fun sitting there watching that game? And then, two, that environment in there was insane. I mean, maybe because I had better seats, but that Kentucky game was unbelievable, but that environment was better yesterday, I think.
Are you a Zakai Ziegler fan?
He's not in it to make friends, man. He's out there to win. And I'm a fan of the whole group, to be honest with you. You probably saw some of that yesterday. But he's one of many that Coach Barnes gets to play the right way. And I think that guy, obviously, the fans draw to him because he's not huge in stature, but he's got the old big heart going on at that court. So something that every college athlete, in my opinion, should emulate other than the other basketball players in our conference. I don't think like him, but it's kind of the way it should be.
That was Vols baseball coach Tony Vitello, who was courtside for this game on Saturday against Auburn. Said he would get thrown out a minimum of 7 times if he was there every game. It's good stuff from Vitello. I love that guy.
Yeah. I can see him going Spike Lee down there.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming at – I'm trying to think of, like if he was down there when they were doing, like, the Gator – when Zeke was doing the Gator chant, what would Vitello been doing, you know?
He'd have been up there on the table with him,
yeah,
probably.
Probably. That was good stuff.
By the way, they've scored about 1,000 runs so far, so that's good too, I guess. Tennessee baseball, they're just destroying Iona. Not great.
Yeah, Iona. Yeah. Maybe – yeah. They need to – go back to the drawing board. They just run ruled it yesterday because it's like Iona's got to get back home. So
yeah,
let's
go ahead and call this
2-day run rule today. Now listen, here's the thing I want to say to be very fair, Michelle. I love Rupp. And Rupp is a great place. Okay? It's fantastic. But I'm sorry. TBA. Now, Rupp, you know, better tradition, better team traditionally, consistent. You know, you're going to get it every night.
BBN.
Right. I mean, TBA, the thing is, I mean, for years and years, you'd have, like, basically when Kentucky came in, right? You'd have a big night. But when that place does get packed, it's louder than Rupp. I mean, I don't know what to tell
you. Listen, but every other SEC team, fans circle that Kentucky game because when they come, it's of course going to be sold out.
I agree. Now, I also heard, I've seen quite a bit of this, that the Auburn game was better than the Kentucky game.
Okay, but Bruce Pearl used to coach, like, that makes sense, you know? And they were number one in the country.
You're just going to hate on Tennessee and everything I say, huh?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
No, these were fair arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't homerish.
Now, look, Rupp is not as good as, you know, Kansas, Duke. You know, it's not. But those are old barns are better than big, huge arenas, in my opinion. I mean, they just, for one thing, they capture sound better. But anyway.
Well, they give you, like, some editing help at Duke, too, when you're that close.
They do. They edit your column, and they spit on your neck.
Yes, they do.
I mean, a lot of times it's not intentionally, like, spitting, but there's just spittle coming from them onto your neck. It's very nice.
I'm sure that it is. Tennessee, a big win on Saturday. It is kind of amazing. Like, they shot 32% from the field and won the game against a top-five opponent on Saturday. It's pretty incredible that they were able to pull that off. But I did think about this on Saturday. You know, we talked about it last year. You know, Tennessee, I think Mike put it great. They peaked basically on January the 2nd, and then that was about it from that team. And they were going the wrong way heading into the tournament. Again, I know that this team is still vulnerable to a bad shooting performance like we saw on Saturday. But just in terms of simply the results and the way that they're playing, this team is a 180 from what we saw last year. Like, they're trending the right way heading in tournament time. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, and in this game, rebounding for sure, but, I mean, I think it may have been as impressive as anything to see what they did defensively against. You know, they didn't have Josiah James the whole game, but when it mattered, they had him on Jabari Smith. And, by the way, he still was ridiculous and hit shot for shot. But still, like, he made it tough on him. I mean, Zakai Ziegler put Wendell Green in. I mean, he just blocked him up. He couldn't do anything. And, you know, then you had a lot of Chandler. KD Johnson was a great matchup. But they can match up with those guys. There aren't that many teams that have, you know, two quick point guard-type players to deal with both of those guys, and Tennessee does. So some of this is just matchups. But I just thought their defense overall was fantastic, really. And then, yeah, at the end it got weird, and they almost – I mean, when you get the four-point play for Jabari Smith, it's like, what are you doing in some of those turnovers on the inbounds? But they survived.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. JC in Goodlettsville texting in says, I'm not a Vols fan, but where are the Rick Barnes detractors now? He couldn't win the big one, or the game passed him by, is what people said. Admit today you are a bandwagon fan, or take to the airwaves and stand by your previous claims while he's winning. This is coming from JC in Goodlettsville.
Well, I will say this, JC. In fact, actually, the biggest Rick Barnes hater in Vol Twitter, who a lot of Vol Twitter people claim that he's been kicked out of Vol Twitter, but he and I went back and forth a little bit yesterday. Because he's just like, no, Rick Barnes, I want nothing to do with him. And look, it's still about March.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, they've had a tremendous regular season. They are in play, although Auburn will have to lose at Mississippi State. So they're probably going to come up a game short of the SEC title. They could win the SEC tournament. It's been a tremendous year. It's been one of the best years they've had. But it's still going to be, okay, let's see what you do in the tournament, Rick. I mean, that's fair.
I mean, if they go out and lose on the first weekend, I mean, you could talk about winning big games, and they've won some big games this year. But if they lose in the tournament on the first weekend, nobody's going to care about that. Like, it's going to be the same conversation with Rick Barnes that it's been.
Exactly.
As it should be.
Yeah. So, you know, this team absolutely should be a second weekend team. It's absolutely good enough to be a second weekend team and be right there to do damage in the second weekend too. So anybody who's wait and see right now, this is what I would say, and this is what I've said to this fan on Twitter. I think it's Rocky Top Ski Bum. Like, you know, I was just like, so, like, does this not count? Does this matter at all or not? Like, I mean, again, like, if you're angry at Rick Barnes right now, then I don't think you really care, right? Yeah. Like, there is still a season. They still play a season every year. Like, do these games matter? You tell me, in an atmosphere like that, with a game like that against a top five team, that means nothing? No, it doesn't mean nothing. But you also still, the most important time of year is March in this sport, and we'll see. Got to get to the second weekend with this group.
I don't think there's any question about it. And if he doesn't, then the same conversation creeps back up. The more I watch them play, the better I feel about them getting to the second weekend. I mean, I think three seed's probably the most likely outcome here. And look, they are prone to a horrendous shooting day. I mean, they shot 32% on Saturday. We've seen them several times this year just not be able to throw the ball into the ocean. I mean, it's been incredible how they've shot the ball sometimes. But if they can shoot halfway decent, their defense, to me, is going to give them a chance to win every single game they play. Like, their defense is really good.
It is, and you know, the thing I wondered, of course, the big loss from last year was Yves Pons, just because he was such an incredible rim protector. But they figure that out. They have these young bigs now who can do some of that. And also, you know, with Pons, offensively at times, he just wasn't a much of an asset. Now, you know. Now, if you play in transition, he was, but you know, he was never a great shooter, and so like they've gotten better in a lot of ways. Yeah, look, if they have one of those like 4-for-20 nights from three, they can lose to anybody. But that's also why they've got to not settle, and that's why, like with Chandler, I feel like he has kind of figured out a little bit more, you know, when to attack, when to jump into the lane and not just settle for, you know, a three. I mean, the other night, you know, Vescovy was having a tough night, and that's, you know, he's 3-for-9. They end up 6-for-16, so they didn't take too many threes, and that was good. But, you know, James goes 2-for-4. You'll take that all day. You get one from, I mean, the Huntley Hatfield three that he hit was, I mean, that was a massive, and you can't count on that, but it was a massive shot. But what I like is that they took 45 twos, you know. They were going to the rim. They get 27 free throws. When they attack like that, they're just so much better.
Let's go to the text line. Chris texting in says, Rick Barnes and Tannehill are in the same boat. It's all about what happens in the postseason versus regular season. Time to deliver when it counts. Also, good to hear you guys on this sunny Monday morning. Let's have a good week. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and I agree. So let's go to Tannehill. Like, next year, we're going to be talking about every single game, every Monday. So if he is having this huge bounce back year and he's, you know, and he's lighting things up and they're winning, I mean, there's still going to be a lot of, okay, show me in January, which is fine. But in the meantime, in the moment, what is happening?
Yeah.
Is it good or is it bad? You know, right now for Tennessee, this is a really good season, really good team, and could be special. You know, but again, that's going to be determined when it matters most.
Text in SEC now to the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament for Session 1, Games 1 and 2 at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Wednesday. Text now. Make sure you text the word SEC to 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. When we come back, why there could be a trend taking place in the NFL that causes players and coaches maybe to get out of the game earlier than normal. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We've got the Rex Rant coming up at 7:45. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week coming up here in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to that. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, have you seen the reports out there? And nothing is official, I don't think, as of yet at this point. But there are reports out there that Troy Aikman may be close to signing a 5-year, $90 million contract to join ESPN and be a part of some Monday Night Football. Amazon getting in the game as well with, I think, rights to the Thursday night games. Al Michaels is a free agent. Apparently now Sean Payton, rumored to be getting into the broadcasting game as well, getting paid like $10 million a year, and he's never done it before. It's kind of amazing what's happening right now in the world of NFL broadcasting. My question to you is this. Like, if I'm a player or a coach, and there were rumors over the weekend, you know, Sean McVay might be going into TV, and he's come out and denied that. So it looks like Sean McVay is sticking around as head coach of the Rams, at least for now. But I do wonder, as teams and players and coaches move forward here, like with some of the deals that Romo and Aikman and some of these guys are getting, I do wonder, like, are you going to look around if you're a player and say, you know what, I'm tired of getting hit. I'm tired of putting in all the work, studying film. I think I could be a really good broadcaster. Let's go get one of these big broadcasting deals and call it a day with my NFL career. I wonder if that becomes more common as they move forward here with some of the money, just the absurd money that's being thrown out by these TV companies.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can make, again, Tony Romo is going to make so much more as a broadcaster than he did as a player. And that was not ever the case. I mean, I suppose, well, you got to go by era. You know, I was thinking of John Madden. You know, certainly he made way more, but his broadcasting career was much longer. He had to get out of coaching early, and you know, Madden was broadcasting at a time when like the money overall was just way bigger than it was in the 70s, right? So, but like Romo in the same era is just, it's way more lucrative to sit there and talk about football than it was to play it. Now the question, but the answer back to you is, first of all, obviously it's a select few, and it's probably going to be like superstars and, you know, probably quarterbacks. But I also look at, you tell me if you agree, I think Drew Brees is fine. But everybody was like, oh my gosh, going all gaga over Drew Brees. I don't.
He's okay.
He's fine.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't even know. I would expect Sean Payton to be really good. But he may not be. You just don't know. It's still a totally different job. And until these people get, especially the game, you know, the color commentator in game, I mean, in the moment, it's a different kind of deal, you know? So maybe Sean Payton won't be this. Like Sean McVay, I think he probably will be ridiculously good at this whenever he does it someday because of the way that he talks the game.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to think that, you know, Amazon's trying to get him, and there were reports that he was going to meet with them. Like, dude, you just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're at the top of your profession. What else could be more important
or better?
And what is he, like
36, 37 years old? Like, he's not that old.
Right. Like, TV used to be just, okay, well, I'm done, and I'll look into some TV. You know, stay part of the game, make some money, be nice. A little less pressure. Now it's like, oh, this is where the money is.
Well, it's interesting because, like, you bring up Brees. Like, he's basically doing the studio show for NBC. And I don't think anybody has confirmed how much money he's making. But the belief out there is he's making more than $6 million, which I think is what ESPN offered him, to sit in a studio on Sundays and break down the game. Now, look, I think he does a good job. I'm not blown away by him, though. Like, I don't think Drew Brees is out there changing the broadcasting world with what he's doing on NBC. But he's getting paid more than $6 million to sit there and do that.
Right. And the thing is, it's hard to know, I think. Like, there's such limitations on that job, which it's amazing that you'd get that much money to do that job.
Yeah, it is.
But, like, maybe he'd be great. Again, it's just very different when it's play-by-play and you've got a few seconds to spit it out. Maybe he'll be great at it. But, yeah, it's been fine. I guess if Romo had started in the studio, would he be, you know, he probably wouldn't be losing his mind in there like he is during the game. That's part of the appeal of Romo, right? Like, it's, but that's because he's in the moment of a game happening.
Well, I also feel like the thing that made Romo really cool and really good is a lot of times he could tell you what was about to happen. Like, he could tell you what was coming. And I almost feel like he stopped doing that. Like, I don't know if they've said, hey, Romo, you got to cut down on that stuff because we'd like to see, you know, there'd be a little bit of mystery in the game. I don't know, but like I feel like he doesn't do that anywhere near as much anymore.
God, I hope.
Maybe he stopped the film study. He said, you know what, I'm done with it. I don't want to watch any more film.
I mean, I hadn't really thought about that, but I guess you're right. He doesn't do it as much. Gosh, I hope that's not strategic by anyone. I love
not.
That stuff.
I know. That's what made him great. Like, honestly, him going crazy and, Jim, what do you think of this? It's like, well, that's what your job is. You're supposed to tell us. Thank you, Tony. That's what you're there for.
I mean, granted, the Cowboys playoff game was a little much.
Brutal.
He was, you know, he was almost melting in his seat. He was rooting so hard for the Cowboys. But, but for the most part, he's good. But again, so everybody's searching for that next Romo. McVay, I think, would have a chance to be that. But again, like, why, you know, why do you want to do that instead of being at the like coaching a Super Bowl champion? What would be better? But again, then the answer is okay, but now you watch a little bit of film in a given week and you get more money?
That's the thing. Like, from a player standpoint, it makes total sense because you're not getting your brains beat in. And I mean, the job security in this is much longer than your job security in the NFL. Now, the thing with that is, you know, there's only a certain amount of jobs
right
that pay this much money, and Romo's got one. You know, Monday Night Football, I guess, is open at this point. Like, are they – I guess they're about to punt on Levy and Greasy and Riddick.
Are they punting on the entire team?
I don't know.
On Greasy, yes, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
just bringing in Aikman?
And an Aikman? Is Aikman better than Greasy?
Yes.
Yes. But – like,
he's fine.
But there's also, to your point, about the limitations on jobs. When people get these jobs, they're going to hold on.
They're going to hold on.
And Aikman's going to hold on to that. And again, he's fine. He's good. He'd be better than Greasy. See, I would be sad if Lewis Riddick was not part of it.
Yeah.
Because I really like him a lot.
Maybe just turn the whole thing over to Peyton and Eli.
Well, what's up with Joe Buck? Joe Buck's still at Fox.
He's still Fox.
He's under contract at Fox. So it's not like there's going to be the Buck Aikman move.
Right.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, what this has become.
Well, that's the thing. And like, in terms of changing the game, like, are players more likely to retire now earlier because they think they can get a broadcasting job? I mean, maybe in some cases. But that goes back to, you know, just how few of those jobs there are. Like, once you get them, you're not letting go of them for the most part.
There are a lot of players who thought they were going to get into broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's very competitive just to be, like, on the seventh crew at Fox or CBS.
Yeah.
You know, which again, like, that's where Jason Witten should have started. You know, think about Jason Witten. Everybody got all over Jason Witten, and I get it. It wasn't very good, and he was trying to be Romo, and he's not Romo, and he wasn't ready for Monday Night Football. But Jason Witten would be, like, he'd be just fine if he would have started out traditionally and gone to one of those.
If he would have done what Greg Olsen did, like Greg Olsen,
gotten way better.
Yeah,
like, yes,
I thought. By the end of the season last year, Greg Olsen was pretty good on Fox.
He is on the rise. He's one of those guys who, yes, is going to have probably one of those bigger jobs soon. So, yeah. But to your point, yeah, look, a lot of players would love to be doing these jobs, former players, and they couldn't get them because, like, there's not that many of them.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Liam texting in says, with how much money the NFL brings in, are the owners keeping a bigger percentage these days? It's surprising how much the top broadcasters and talking heads are making these days relative to the top players and coaches. This is coming from Liam on the text line. Now, I will say, as far as, like, the top players are concerned, like, you know, Romo's getting paid a lot of money. Breeze is getting paid a lot of money to do broadcasting, and all that's great. Like, they're not getting paid $40 million a year,
right,
like Mahomes and Rodgers and all these guys.
Right.
So there is difference, but they're also not putting in the work that Rodgers and Mahomes and all those guys are putting in to escape 300-pound men chasing them.
Exactly. I mean, you're not going through the grind of a season and being put in jeopardy. But as far as the money split, I mean, again, this is why the rights – I mean, this is television money.
Yeah.
So this is why the rights are so valuable. And, of course, that's what they pay for the rights. That's what the owners get. And, you know, then you have your collective bargaining agreement. But on the TV side, you know, it's just, to me, now that they've figured out streaming and everything and monetizing all that, it's just going to be bigger and bigger.
I just want to, like, in Sean McVay's case, he's 36 years old. He just won a Super Bowl. Like, if he wanted to, he could coach in the NFL for another 35 years if he really wanted to. It seems like he's 36. It feels like he's already thinking about, TV might be nice. Like, it does make me wonder, like, Sean McVay, if he really wanted to and he stayed a head coach in this league for a long time, he could go down as one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game by the time he was done. And it seems like he's already thinking about getting out. That's just it's an interesting time we're living in with the broadcast money.
Yeah, though, to be fair, I mean, look, if Amazon comes to you and says $90 million,
yeah,
I mean,
I know.
You know, you're going to talk to him, right? Oh, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're actively looking to get out. And it's also – what also happens, of course, sometimes is coaches go into broadcasting and then they're like, no, I need to be back. We see that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Arians, thank goodness he went back into coaching from broadcasting because –
Well, we're about to see him pull off the great coaching job, and he's going to make Blaine Gabbert a Super Bowl champion.
My gosh, what is going on?
Starting quarterback Super Bowl champion, I guess I should say.
What is up with the – yeah, you got – I mean, come on, Blaine.
Blaine.
He hasn't been surrounded by – what?
He hasn't played on good teams.
If you want to, if anybody taped the Titans Chargers game,
the time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rex Road's rant of the week. Some Kokomo bringing us back in, which I feel like is a shot across the bow from Michelle to you today. She's fed up with you today. She's fed up with you talking about her Wildcats. So she plays your least favorite song coming back. I like it. I like the style.
Well, I mean, she's played it before.
Well, I know that.
When I wasn't ripping
Kentucky. But I think it was intentional today.
Or maybe I was ripping Kentucky on that day. I don't know.
Robbie, you're right.
That's right. I knew I was.
Actually, I'm kind of that song's kind of growing on me.
I think
as I get older, I'm starting to really enjoy it.
Put you in a little bit of a tropical feel. Going to Indy for the combine.
Yeah,
gonna bring some flip flops with you. Pull up a beach chair.
Maybe I will
be warm stuff in Indy tomorrow.
Maybe I will show up in a Hawaiian shirt tomorrow.
Joe Rexroad, your rant of the week, which, by the way, you can catch every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rexroad.
Okay, so I'm gonna do something a little different here.
Okay,
so I'm gonna read some texts between Katie Rexroad and me.
Okay.
From Saturday.
Okay.
So there is a point to all this. So first of all, some background. So our middle child, Brennan, tried out for a 7-on-7 team. Some great people running this 7-on-7 team. The Evolve Sisu Foundation.
Football, by the way.
Football. 7-on-7 football. So that's a big thing now. You know, you're trying to be a, you know, high school football player, the 7-on-17's flag. I mean, you know, stay in shape in the spring and you compete. And there's a lot of really good competition in these tournaments, okay? So this weekend I had Preds, of course. Big, big weekend. So Katie Rexroad gets to take Brennan to East Tennessee, okay, to Gatlinburg for this tournament. No idea how it's going to go. I mean, I've watched them practice some. There's a lot of good – we've got a lot of really talented kids, but I have no idea. Like, this tournament is teams from all – there were teams from Michigan, Chicago, Louisville, like all over the place at this tournament, okay? So no idea if we're going to be competitive or not, but, of course, I'm being kept up by Katie. So you have play three games – and then you have the single elimination tournament, right?
So like some pool play to start.
Yeah, pool play to start. And so, you know, Katie's giving me updates, and I won't get into the nitty-gritty, but, you know, they lost, and then they lost, and then they lost. So there's three games that are happening. So, again, they've driven over. They've stayed over Friday night. You have the all day or whatever, however long it might be that day, okay? So as a parent with youth sports or any kind of sports, you do not root against your child, okay? You don't, of course you want your child to win. You want your child's teams to win. But you do maybe get an expectation, right?
Yeah.
You get like and if something is going to, you've already gone there, you've stayed overnight and you've been there for hours and it's freezing like cold rain in Gatlinburg, you have a feeling after you lose the first three games that it's probably gonna be quick in a single elimination, right? And so you are okay with that, and everybody should be okay with you being okay with that. Okay?
Sure.
So let me pick it up here. And by the way, so we also played a team. Like apparently it's Cam Newton's team.
Really?
Yeah, Cam Newton's team. I don't know. Anyway, So they get in the single elimination.
That seems
unfair. And I'm like, yeah. So you get the single elimination, you're right around 2 p.m. So it's like, okay, so then you'll probably be home. Yeah, you might be home around dinner, you know, driving from East Tennessee. So here's a text from Katie. First single elimination game. We won. Yay. Y-A-A-A-Y. Then I go back and forth, like, how did Brennan play? Blah, blah, blah. You know, no. Yeah, he played well. Okay. about an hour and a half later. Won again. I'm going to die. My text back. Oh, bleep. A little about an hour and a half later. Won again. And I'm like, okay. Then I'm like, you guys should just stay. Like, yeah. And then I'm like, how do we lose all the prelim games? Then we're winning in this tournament. You know, is he having fun? Is he playing well? Yes, yes. No, we're not going to stay. Won again. Hour and a half later. I'm like, holy. Okay, here's my tweet. Here's my text. Holy, period, crap, period, WTF, period. Are they going nuts? Are the parents freaking out? She's like, this is insane. And then she's talking about Brennan plays he made and all this stuff. Okay. And so then I'm like, wait, are we in the championship game now? You know, all caps, yes. Wow. Then I get a text. We won! Exclamation point. Let's see. How many? 8 exclamation points.
Wow.
And in the end, a very excited, we won!
So she worked through to get to the point where she was excited. That's good stuff.
So, yes, congrats to the 15U Savages, the 7-on-7, Evolve Sisu Foundation. Won the freaking tournament. Qualified for Nationals in Orlando. Don't know when that is. But they qualify for Nationals in Orlando.
Good Lord. 7-on-7 football. You go all over the place.
Well, guess what? This weekend, I'll be covering the SEC Women's Tournament. Katie and Brendan, they'll be in St. Louis. So the point of all this is, children, appreciate your parents sometimes.
Yeah.
Do your chores. I know I come back to my rant could be like every other week could be about chores and talking respectfully to parents and things like that. We love you. We want you to be happy. If you lose a game here and there, we may not be that sad about it.
Especially when there's a long, long ride home.
But in the end, everyone was excited. Everyone was pumped. They got home. They went and got food. And they got home like just before I got home from the Preds game at night. So parents do a lot for kids. So kids appreciate that and understand it.
All right, so you're going to have to help me out here because, I mean, I graduated from high school in 2010. It wasn't that long ago. There was no 7-on-7 football.
Yeah.
There was none of that around here. When did this become a thing, and how is it now so big that there are apparently tournaments all around the country for 7-on-7 football?
Well, it's funny. As a college football beat writer, I was starting to do some stories on this like around 2015 or so.
Yeah, they had it when I was in high school, and that's when I graduated.
Yeah, and really, and honestly, so if you go back, like David Ubb and I did the high school coach confidential, talking to a bunch of coaches, right, about recruiting, and a lot of, like, what would you change about recruiting? A lot of the answers were like the 7-on-7 thing. So, you know, can be, you know, like a lot of high school coaches don't love it because in some instances, you know, like players, frankly, like a lot of people say, well, it's just like AAU basketball. Like there are high school basketball players who are more invested in like their particular AAU team, right? Oh, yeah. Than their high school team. And I mean, it's all, again, it's around recruiting and things like that. So it has become a major, it's become a major recruiting, tool. You know, I mean, it's a chance to see these guys. This, along with a lot of the camps, you know, that have increased a lot too, is just a lot more off-season opportunities, which to me, look, it's good. I mean, it's great. Look, this has been great. You're out there working on skills, playing with and against really good talented players. I think it's great as a parent, but I understand the high school coach concern too, if you prioritize this over your high school team, right?
Chris on the text line says, so did they play like 12 games in one day? This is coming from Chris on the text line.
So, yeah, I mean, it would have been. So they played 3 preliminary games, and I guess it was, I mean, 4 or 5 more, right?
Yeah, so 7 or 8 games.
Yeah, that's in one
lot.
Day.
That's a
no.
lot.
No. Oh, I mean,
well, at least you're not hitting each other, but that's a lot.
Yeah, but, I mean, he woke up yesterday at whatever time, like, not early. And I was like, honestly, I was like, I don't even know how you're moving right now.
Yeah.
So.
Rest up, kid.
Yeah. But, yes, it is a big thing, no question about it. And, again, I think it's – well, look, I think AAU basketball is great and important. It's just, you know, of course you're going to have – whenever there's recruiting involved, there are going to be some people who get involved in this who maybe don't have the best interest of the kids in mind. But I think that can be a little overblown too.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, congratulations, Nolensville. They're producing some winners down there, man.
Well, this is
Nolensvillians.
This isn't a Nolensville. This is more like a Nashville team. There are a couple of kids from Nolensville.
I was about to say, let me give credit to Nolensville when I can.
Well, we already gave credit. We got to give more credit every hour to one of the famous Nolensvillians, Catfish Jake,
yes,
for taking one. Now, he did get tackled.
He did get hit.
Yeah,
yes.
he did take
there
a hit.
There was no flag football contact there.
No one pulled the flag. They just went ahead and dropped him.
Incredible video. Absolutely incredible on Twitter.
I'm buying you a beer next time I see you, Catfish
That's
Jake.
Right. William from Madison texting in says, Joe, if you want to go to the beach, you can cover the Vandy boys. They're going to Hawaii this weekend. That's coming from William in Madison.
I noticed that on the
I'm
schedule.
Sorry, Indianapolis. I'll be back. Going to Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, and I really think that the Athletic should consider an important regular season baseball series.
I do too.
You know, I don't think enough thought was put into that. That would have been a good trip.
There's still enough time for some reconsideration.
That's true. Fly right from Indy.
That's right.
Good call.
This has been the Rex Rant. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.